This is a podcast from Real Life Sango in Clarksville, Tennessee. Thank you for being a part of our online community. We would love for you to join us on Sunday mornings at 8:30 or 10 a.m. at the City Forum. In the meantime, if you would like to share a prayer request, make a financial contribution, or take any step at Real Life, you can text Keep It Real with no spaces to 97000. Now, enjoy the podcast.
I may have shared this with you guys before, but I used to have a hard time during the Christmas season learning what to preach. And I think it was because, as a young pastor, I just always thought, it's just it always had to be bigger and better. Isn't that the way we feel about Christmas, Always bigger and better. Always feels like you kind of have to pull something special out of your hat. And then after a long period of struggling with Christmas, I invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. That's where we're going to be this morning, Luke chapter 2. After a long season of struggling with Christmas, and I just felt overwhelmed. There's so much in the Christmas story that you want to unpack. There's so many details that you want to share, but you just felt like it was just like, how do you unpack all of that? And as I struggled with it over the years, I finally came to the understanding, with God's help, that God's people really do need to hear the same old Christmas story one more time. And in my mind, as a young Christian, I just thought, well, that's not impressive enough. And really? A virgin birth is not that impressive? What is more impressive, But in my mind, I just thought, well, that's what we talked about last year. And then as I grew in my understanding, it was that's the point. In other words, in the Christian life, so much of what God calls us to do is simply remembering. It's simply remembering. Many of us are looking for a fresh word from God. And indeed, the Bible says that His mercies are new, every morning. So we know that God is the God of the new, and we know that God is always speaking a fresh word and always speaking a new word. But it seems like it's God's way to speak a new, fresh word through the old story, through the ancient story. And that's my hope and prayer this Christmas season, is that we open up the sacred scriptures, and as we dig into the ancient story of Jesus' birth, that God blesses you with a fresh word, a new word through the ancient story. God has always been instructing His people to remember. Think about Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12. God spoke to His people, take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. He was speaking to Israel who had been delivered up out of slavery, and God was saying to His people, don't forget. Why was He saying that? It's because God's people are so prone to forget. We're prone to forget the wonder of God's power. We're prone to forget the wonder of God's love. We're prone to forget how amazing the grace of God is, how faithful God has been in the past. We know this, don't we? How silly we are. I mean, and sometimes you find yourself in that moment where you find yourself in a season and you don't know how God's going to provide, and there's been a disruption and things aren't coming through like you thought. And you've got 20 years to look back upon of God being faithful and God being faithful and God being faithful and God being faithful. But you're freaked out in this one moment. Have you ever been there? And we forget. We forget of the wondrous ways that God has provided for us. As a Christian, if you've been walking with the Lord very long, then you've got your own personal stories about how God has been faithful to you. You could write testimony after testimony of testimony. Well, 20 years ago, this is how God was faithful to our family. And 15 years ago, this is how God was faithful to me. And 10 years ago, this is how God showed up in my life. And God's people, Israel, had a myriad of ways that God had provided faithfully. And then they had those epic moments of God delivering Israel out of slavery in Egypt. And He said, don't forget those. Don't forget those. And when you remember those, you won't freak out in the hard moments. So as a Christian, oftentimes we want this to-do list. Anybody a to-do list person this morning? Like, man, I just flourish with my to-do lists, and a day is successful when I get done with my day and all my to-do list boxes are checked off, you know? And so really, the to-do list this morning is just simply this. Remember Christmas. Just remember. Remember Christmas. It's important that we say that, and it's important that we don't think, oh yeah, we'll remember Christmas, because when we think about remembering, we're not just talking about a remembering kind of in an intellectual way. What did the scripture say? What did the scripture say that Mary did when the angel told her that she was going to carry the Son of God? She treasured these things up in her heart. She pondered them in her heart. It's that kind of remembering that God invites us into. Psalm verse 78, verse 40 through 43 says this: how often they rebelled against him. They tested God again and again. Who's they? That's God's people, Israel. How often they rebelled against him. They tested God again and again. And they did not remember his power or the day when he redeemed them from the foe, when he performed his signs in Egypt and his marvels in the field of Zoan. So the very thing that God told his people to do, remember, we have an account here of they did not remember. Isn't it interesting? Do you ever feel like the burden that God is putting on you is heavy? It's like a heavy burden. Well, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. My burden is easy and my yoke is light. My yoke is easy, he said. My burden is light. So this morning, the invitation is, remember what God has done. Just remember what God has done. And so I want us to read together in Luke 2 as we center in on remembering Christmas. And I just want us to remember just a couple of things together. So look at Luke chapter 2 with me, picking up in verses 1 through 7. And perhaps this is like the most famous, often read section of the Christmas story in the scriptures. For crying out loud, we've got like Charlie Brown reading this, you know? So you'll be flipping through the channels this Christmas season, and up will come a cartoon with what we're about to read. So what does God want us to remember from this text this morning? Look at it with me. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. All throughout the Old Testament, we have dozens and dozens of prophecies about Jesus. And one of the prophecies that was given in the Old Testament in the book of Micah about Jesus is where the ruler of Israel would be born. And we get a little inkling that this isn't just any ruler of Israel. This is the long-awaited ruler of Israel. So in Micah, the prophet Micah says it this way, but you, the Lord says through Micah, but you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth from me one who is to be ruler in Israel. O Bethlehem. He's speaking to a location. Bethlehem. O Bethlehem. Through you is going to be one born who's going to be ruler of Israel. This is like 700 plus years before Jesus was born. And God is speaking through the prophet Micah to his people. Bethlehem, this is where the ruler of Israel is going to be born. And then he gives a little description that helps us understand this is not just any ruler of Israel. This is the long-awaited Messiah of Israel, and he says, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. So there's a little inkling there to say, okay, this isn't just any ruler of Israel. This is the one from ancient of days. This is the one who had no beginning. This is the one who holds the universe in his hand. He's going to be born. He's going to be born a man, and he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Now, I don't know. When the people of Israel received these prophecies, I don't know that they were always altogether clear to them what God was saying. That indeed, that in Bethlehem, the Messiah is going to be born. But here's Joseph, and here's Mary, and Mary's pregnant. She's a virgin. It's a miracle. The angels have come and given them the announcement. The angel came to Joseph and said, don't divorce Mary. Don't put her away. They're betrothed to be married. So it would have been an understanding of a divorce was like it would have been what would have happened to a betrothal. And they're in Nazareth. And the prophecy is that the baby would be born where? In Bethlehem, 80 miles away. Ladies, have you ever been pregnant and like count down, like you're counting down the days that the doctor will like allow you to travel? Have you ever been in that situation? It's like once you get in a certain window, the doctor says, no more flying, you can't fly, right? You're too close to, you know, you're too close to giving birth, right? Or, you know, or you'll be wanting to do something, you know, nope, you can't be doing that. Too much activity, you know, maybe you work out and you want to keep your workouts that way. You can't lift this much, you know, whatever it is, the doctor, like, you know, you got to get the green light from the doctor or not the green light from the doctor, right? And here's Mary and Joseph and she's pregnant. And now what does the opening verse of Luke chapter 2 say? Look at it again with me. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Let me just pause there. Here's secular government. Israel was under the rule of Rome in these days. And here's secular government telling the people what they have to do. Do you ever get frustrated with the government these days?
Can I just be done? Is that a good enough
for this morning? Can I just be done? Is that a good enough for this morning? Is that good? You ever feel like you're experiencing a little bit of overreach? You feel like somebody's impeding upon your freedoms? You feel like it's a little too much. Back off. Well, here's a pregnant woman who's told, you have to travel 80 miles. Not in your nice car. Donkey, camel, you know. Like, you know, it's like, what doctor is going to let a pregnant woman ride on the back of a donkey for 80 miles? Do you know what I mean? Not happening, right? Like, So Mary and Joseph were under the government's instruction to make a 80-mile journey to Bethlehem. It's like going to Nashville and back on foot and on donkey. Pregnant. You know, at least Mary couldn't, like, complain to Joseph. You're the one that got me pregnant, right? You know, it's like, you did this to me. No, I didn't. That was him. Right, right. What I don't want you to miss, and what we need to remember this Christmas season, is that God was sovereign over the secular government. His power transcended secular government to accomplish his purposes. I love it when the people of God advocate for righteousness in government and in our laws, and we need to continue to do that. It's part of what it means to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. I'm so thankful for those that do that passionately and winsomely. But we live in a day where it can be really, really frustrating, and we can think like the whole world is crumbling because of how the government is acting, but when we remember Christmas, we remember that the government has nothing on our God. And so here's the beautiful power of God on display. A pregnant woman gets the edict here. You've got to go 80 miles to Bethlehem. Can you imagine how frustrated she must have been in the timing of this? And yet God was orchestrating his plan, transcending the choices of secular government to get Mary in Bethlehem to fulfill Micah's prophecy 700 years before. That the one of ancient days, the ruler of Israel, he would be in Bethlehem, born in Bethlehem. Do you see it? Well, the next thing that I want us to see just in this text, and it's just really simple. Look at verse 6. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Verse 7. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. He laid him in a horse trough, in a feeding trough. The baby boy, Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who spoke the universe into being, is born simply, humbly, in a very simple way. This is the way God works. And in this Christmas, you may be tempted to overcomplicate what God is doing in your life. You may be tempted to overcomplicate trying to figure out what God is up to. But I just want you to remember that God's ways are simple. God's ways are humble. And so this Christmas, we want to remember two things. We want to remember the sovereignty of God and the simplicity of Jesus' birth. There's a great story that I want you guys to hear. So I'm going to invite Jamie Foxx to come up real quick. Jamie's going to come on up, Jamie. Jamie's going to come up and share a little story with us that illustrates the sovereignty of God in the simplicity of the ways of God. So Jamie, come on up. Come on up around here. We'll talk this morning. Good morning. You did great.
You're fine. Nervous.
Morning. Good morning.
Hi, Mom.
How you doing? Is your mom watching? Jamie, let me pull up my questions for you this morning. Would you just tell us a little bit about what was your life like before you met Jesus?
Okay, real brief.
What was going on in your life? Tell us a little about that.
Very.
Just real briefly.
Very reckless.
You were going through a dark season.
Very.
Tell us about that.
With.
Hold that
myself.
Mic, yeah, right there.
Yep. Not just physically, emotionally. Instead of.
Myself.
Not doing. Well.
Instead of.
Whew, I wrote notes too. Okay. Well, instead of comforting myself in a positive way, I turned to alcohol, okay. Prescription drugs that were prescribed to me. So I said, right. But no, I was really deep then. I took my life for granted. I've dodged bullets so many times where I should have been dead, but I was saved every time for crazy reasons. I couldn't figure it out. I was really angry with God. I grew up as Catholic. I knew God existed, but I never really knew what his plans were for me.
Got into a really dark spot. Can you tell us about that day?
Yeah.
You got into a really dark spot. Can you tell us about that day?
I had my medications all saved up enough to take me out. Just in case it didn't take me out, I had probably like a big jug of bourbon because that was my drink of choice. And I was ready. You know what? Who cares? This, if I end this all, the pain's gonna end, suffer's gonna end. Nobody's gonna care, and God would understand. I mean, that was like the only time I really said, you know what, He'll understand, because He loves me, right? But for some reason, I decided to call the crisis line. If this one person I've never met can convince me to stay alive, I'll stay. And I call, and I talk to this lady. She had the most calming voice, and she just sounded so sincere. And she said, hey, you matter. I just want you to know that you matter, and things will get better. And I don't know how it's going to get better, but it will get better. And the fact that you're having so much encouragement to wanting to end your life says a lot about your will to live. And it would hurt me if anything will happen, like happen to you. So like after a while, she goes, hey, what's your name? And I said, hey, Jamie. She's like, hey, I'm Raven. Nice to meet you. And that was it. About a year and a half later, I just started like a home-based business. And this lady, yeah, go ahead.
Just to catch people up to speed because some of them are just
Let me interrupt. just to catch people up to speed, because some of them are just waking up this morning and going, wait, did I hear you say what I thought you just heard, what I thought I just heard?
Oh, yeah.
So you got into such a dark place in your life that you were considered taking your life.
Yes.
By God's grace, you called Centerstone Hotline, and a young woman named Raven answered the phone.
Yeah.
And that night, somehow she convinced you not to take your own life.
Well, so we Googled,
sometime after that, you Googled churches and you found Real Life.
Minutes. And I didn't really, I never heard of Real Life, to be honest. I've heard of Awaken, Life Point. So, but it was Bruce that said, hey, why don't we try this place? It looks cool. It has an arcade. I was like, oh, sweet. So, you know, we said, if we don't like it, we'll go into the next on the list. But no, we fell in love, like, the first day. Like, so, yeah. So,
and can you tell us about your journey of finding Jesus here?
Right here. He started talking about, hey, don't fake. Stop pretending. God loves you for who you are. He knows exactly who you are. More you try to pretend to be someone else, more you sin. And I was in the back corner, bawling my eyes out. And I like looked at Bruce and I said, did you pay him off? Like, did you tell him about me? Like, what's going on? Is this like a therapy session, like intervention? What's going on? But I just knew. It's like, you know what? That's what I need to hear. That's what I've been doing. You know, like, instead of like pretending to fit in or please toxic people in my life, I was on that journey mentally, and here he was saying that, and that was it. I was like, this is our church. This is, it wasn't just him speaking to me, like to all of us, it was God speaking through this guy, like, well, this pastor, this person. So yeah, here we are. Oh yeah, so I...
You went to the bathroom, you were bawling in the bathroom.
Like by the sink.
Some strange lady prayed for you.
I could tell somebody was in the stall and she could not come out. And I felt terrible. And I was like, I need to do this. I need to put myself together. But she in the bedroom came out and she's like, are you okay? And I was like, no, I'm not okay. I'm crying because of, you know, A, B, C, and B. And she's like, hey, can I pray with you? Can I pray for you? I'm like, yeah, sure. And, some stranger during COVID, time, she hugged me and she held my hand. She just prayed for me in the bathroom, And I'm sorry, but I do not remember your name. I know we exchanged names so many times, but I love you. Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. And so, Jamie, would you say it was on that day that the Spirit of God convicted you of sins and you opened up your heart and faith, or was it a few weeks after?
Yeah.
It honestly was the first day.
Yeah. So amazing. So the first day you attended Real Life, the Spirit of God spoke to you about the love of God. You became undone and opened up your heart and faith to the Lord Jesus. Yeah, so amazing. Right on, church, right?
Real quick,
I mean, that's
though,
what God does in this place.
To Kim Pierce.
Yes!
I wanted to thank you, because she was the welcoming call party, and she's been helping me through so much, and she's like a Tinder date I never met, because we did not meet for months in person, so we knew everything about each other, and here we were on the land on church's birthday, so I just wanted to thank you.
Yeah, we've got a phenomenal team of folks. If you visited Real Life in the last 2 years, you got a call on the first day you attended from somebody like Kim. Where's Kim?
Oh, yeah,
and they just call with a welcome.
Oh, yeah, like just
but
texting.
You guys talked for 2 hours that day. And then you talked for a month before you met each other on the land. Yeah, yeah. We like to say that every Sunday is somebody's first Sunday at Real Life, but sometimes every Sunday is somebody's first day at Real Life and stepping into the kingdom of God, right? So that's so cool. Jamie, you've begun to grow in your relationship with God through, can you tell us about that?
So first big major change was my relationship, romantic relationship. There's Bruce, we're getting married next Sunday on his birthday. We went from, let's get married, we're in this again, Freddie. He didn't force us. He's just kind of asked, are you guys sinners? We're like, maybe, a little bit. I mean, how are we sinning, you know, for two grown adults? And he's like, you know what? I'm not here to judge, but I think you guys should get married. I mean, if you're engaged, what's stopping you? And we prayed about it, and here we are, set the date. And, you know, my community group was amazing, by the way, guys. We eat really good.
Tell us about your community group.
We really do. Yeah, our leader are Jim and Ellen Gustin, the coolest people you ever meet. And we have a very diverse group. We really do. And we are taking two more people in if you're interested. So Jim, the first
What kind of spiritual encouragement have you found in your group?
Bruce actually left a day after our first meeting for a few months, thanks to the Army. And he asked Bruce straight up, do you guys pray together? And he's like, we're like, no, we don't. That's like a very private thing. And he told Bruce, you're a priesthood of this household. You're a leader. You're the man. Lead. Why don't you do that? And, you know, while he's been gone, like, they became a family.
And at that point in time, Bruce wasn't sure that he wanted
family. And at that point in time, Bruce wasn't sure that he wanted to follow Jesus. But this morning, you sent me a message that said, Bruce wants to get baptized today as well. Is that right? So awesome. So cool. When I got to visit with Jamie and Bruce at Golly G's one day, Bruce, he wasn't even sure what he believed about God at all. And look at this journey that he's come on. So as we lean into the sovereignty of God in Christmas, I want people to get to hear about the sovereignty of God in your life. And so you live in Hereford Farms neighborhood. So as that neighborhood was being built, we drove through that neighborhood praying for the people that would move into those houses. And now here's two of them in our midst. They're going to be baptized today. Pretty cool.
Okay, so
tell us about your business and how Raven comes back into the story.
I love serving people, but I also don't like to serve people so much. It's been a lot of work. Anyway, so my second week, and it's been going great. This lady placed an order, and she came to pick up. And I somehow had some time to chit-chat with her. And, like, when I heard her voice, it just sounded so familiar. I was like, oh, maybe do I know her? Have I met her before? And we just kept talking and talking, and I found out that she was a social worker. And she's like, yeah, I work for Crisis Line at Centerstone. And her name's Raven. And I kid you not, it was just like immediate. You saved my life, Raven. Like, I don't know if it was, if you remember me, but I called you crying, wondering why I should live. And there you are. And I knew that it wasn't just her. It was really the Holy Spirit speaking like through her. And it was me. Well, not just me, but, you know, my own Holy Spirit telling me, hey, live for her. And here we are. She's back in my life. And she actually did come to church real life.
So let's lean into that. You posted a testimony on Facebook about how amazing one Sunday was. And Raven commented and said, is there somewhere I could watch that? So you dropped the link in, and then you said, I know it's a long drive for you, but you really should come this Sunday. And she came. She sat on the back row. And at the response time, what happened?
You know, we all Do you remember? Had our eyes closed. And I did have my eyes closed, just so you know. And I hear Pastor Freddie, he's like, hey, sister in the back, you're accepting Christ. He's done that before, but I never really knew, because I never opened my eyes. It's a private moment. But I just had this feeling. I was like, it's got to be Raven. But I don't want to birch. And as we're walking out, Freddie, he's like, hey, I'm Freddie. I was like, well, this is Raven. He's like, so you're the sister that accepted Christ today. I was like, whoa. Which made Jim Gustin cry like a baby. made me cry like a baby, and so she's been wanting to come, but she works from like 7 p.m. to 3 a.m. still for the crisis line, so it's really difficult for her to wake up in the morning and make the drive, but she's been watching online, and she really wants to get involved.
Yeah, so good. So I want to invite you to stay after to celebrate Jamie's baptism, Bruce's baptism, and four other people's baptism today. But church, don't miss this. A decree went out from Caesar Augustus. And Joseph and Mary headed to Bethlehem. And Jamie got on the phone, prepared to take her life. And a woman named Raven answered the phone. And either randomly or providentially through a loving God expressing his sovereign power, Raven puts in a food order from Jamie. And she comes and picks it up. And they form a friendship. And then through this friendship, Raven comes and sits on the back row and gets saved herself. Friends, God's not forgotten about you. He knows every burden. He knows every disappointment. And in his sovereignty, he's working for your good. And Jamie's life is a testimony to that. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father, we give you glory. We are in awe of the great things that you do. Thank you for King Jesus, who came as a baby. This Christmas season, we worship him. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Let's stand to our feet, church. Let's sing out.
Thank you for listening. We trust that God is stirring something fresh in your heart today. We hope to see you on a Sunday very soon. Keep it real. Keep it Jesus.